Oh, Mr. Ruven Levy, we're learning together the book Gana Shalom, the God of Peace by Rav Shalom Arush. We're in the Hebrew version. We're starting a new chapter today, Baruch Hashem, chapter 7, page 149. Beit HaTefillah, the house of prayer. Tov, Hasipur Haba, the following story. Malamed Otanu Shiur Gadol Be'emunah U'B'Shalom Bayit teaches us in a great measure Emunah and Shalom Bayit. What's the story? As follows. Bachur Echad Hikoev Le'emunah Derech Latot. Right, there was a young man who came close to Hashem, came close to Emunah through Klatot, through the tapes, cassette tapes, for the age of the iPod, iPad,
iMac,
everything. And before the age of CDs, there was something called Klatot cassettes. Harris used to make lots of cassettes. Anyway, so he learned about Emunah through cassettes, this boy. Matchilat darko nikahaya. Right? The beginning of his teshuvah process, shekod hit kadmut shelo ititmot, went very slowly. Meshech tukvaruka, over a long period of time, uba lishurim sheli, he came to my shurim, says Rav Arush, mibli sheyatchil afilu lishmo shabbat, even though he wasn't even keeping Shabbat yet. He was listening to tapes, learning about Emunah, but he wasn't yet keeping Shabbos. He's coming to Rav Shalom Shurim. Rak l'davar achad, hu chitchabe miyad, b'tzorah chazaka. Only one thing he connected to immediately and in a very strong way. What was that? Le'emunah pshuta. To simple Emunah. V'la'asiyach im Hashem b'safa shelo. And to speak to Hashem in his own language. Right? Hit bodadut, just speaking to Hashem. Right? The most simple, and like Rav Nachman teaches us, the highest form of serving Hashem, and the most simple form, is hit bodadut, just speaking to Hashem in our own words. And you don't need to be frum, you don't need to be religious, you don't need to be keeping anything. You can talk to Hashem. So even though from the outside you couldn't tell it at all, who are you? Mamash baltifila. He was really strong in his prayers. Who are you? Marbev hit baradut b'chol his lamnot. He would increase his personal prayers at every opportunity. Vayachazak ma'od bazen. He was very strong in this. Who are you? Masugal la'asot b'kalut kama sha'ot shel hit baradut. He could manage easily many hours of hit bodadut. Who has sig dvarim ayyide tefillah. And he achieved things through his tefillah. Right? Things he prayed for, he received, he achieved things. Kalalo shel dvar, the sum of the matter. Who ha'emin ma'od b'koach ha'tefillah. He believed greatly in the power of prayer. Who b'sicha ha'ishit, and in his personal prayer, in borei olam, with Hashem. V'nazkir, Shekozer, and we should remember that all of this, al af shehit kadmut shelo b'sha'ah ha-mitzvah ha'ita af sit kemat. All this happened even though that the rest of his teshuva process, he was not fulfilling almost any other mitzvah whatsoever. Right? Person can speak to Hashem, get close to Hashem, get strong in his emunah, even if he's not keeping the rest of the mitzvahs yet. Erev Echad, one evening, B'tom Echad me'ashurim, after one of the shurim, Nigash alai ha-bachur, the bachur approached Rav Arush, V'siper li shehu hikir bachura, and he told me, says Rav Arush, that he knew a lady, had a girlfriend, She'emnam lo me'unyanet b'chlal lachzor b'teshuvah, that despite the fact that she was not interested at all in making tshuva, the woman, about he wants etre mena. However, she found favour in his eyes, meaning he liked the woman, he liked this girl. But whom it kamel it hatenita, and he wanted to get married to her. What shall I do? Standard typical question that you get if you're a varish. Let's see what it says. Since I knew this young man well, right? We'd seen him in the shurim, we'd spoken to him before. Believe, and if you're Rav Arash, you knew him well, even if you hadn't spoken to him, right? You just obviously knew all about him, just from looking at him. V'liviti oto l'orech kol ta'alech ha'teshuva shelo b'meshech zman lo mevutal. Right? He'd been with him. Right, Rav Arash should be with him throughout his initial teshuva process, right? Because he started to come back and make sure through Rav Arash's tapes, he started coming back through the shiurim to listen to his shiurim, so he knew him through that process. Yadati shelamor shenirei shehitkadmut itid. I knew that even though his teshuva process was going very slowly, basach hakol hu alech b'kivun shehitkadmut. At the end of the day, he was definitely going in the right direction, in the way of strengthening himself. He had already begun to start putting on tefillin, and to start to learn a little bit, things like that. And I felt, says Rav Arash, that it would be better for him if he got married to a girl who was also on the same path, in the same direction, whereas apparently this girl was not interested. Therefore, I advised him not to get married to this girl that he met. Interesting. Most of the time, Rav Arash does not advise that, but Hashem, you know what he's talking about.
You said that Rabbi Shlomo Arash advised him to get married to this
not,
girl?
Not to get married. Oh. Not to get married, because she was not on the same path. She wasn't interested in getting stronger. Amati lo, I said to him, Lama lacha lachnis et atzmacha l'nisayon? Why do you want to put yourself in a test? A hard test, nisayon kasher, a hard test. Shel chose tikshoret u matachim. Of lack of communication and pressure. Like if you get married to her, you're going to be in a very difficult situation. And it's hard enough. You married?
No.
Okay. It's hard enough when you're both on the same path to get everything that a person has to go through together with his wife. But if you're in something some fundamental as where you are holding in your Yiddishkeit, which is really the foundation of your life, right? Your connection to Hashem. It doesn't matter what football team you support, there's more important things that are more fundamental. And if they're not right, then people can get married. It happens when they're in different places, but it's asking a lot, putting a lot of strain, a lot of pressure. And if you can avoid it, then suddenly Arash is writing here that he didn't, in this case anyway, suggest that the person put himself into that position. Humatzi Dor Mali, he from his side said to me, that even though he wanted to get stronger, but however, on the other side, although he wanted to get stronger, on the other hand, he didn't see himself marrying a Haredi girl. Why? I'm not there, I'm not that strong. But Davka Bachorazo Nirelo, and Davka, particularly specifically this girl, he thinks was suitable for him. But whom Makabesh she ever said that, and he hopes it will be okay. Bad move. Lo hit makachti ito. I didn't argue with him. But who hit chatenita, and he married her. Top. Let's see what happens. Uvan shaloch alfu yamim rabim mechatuna. Of course, not many days passed after the wedding. Vabocho itchasev lefanai, but panim fulot. And the man, the boy, I guess what he is now, man, married man, came to me with a fallen face, and started to tell me his big problems in Shalom Bayit. Hu Wi Sho Lo Mistadrim, him and his wife weren't getting on together. Koma Sheman Yenota Ze Pelophonim, everything that interested her was Pelophonim, cell phones. Biluyim, spending time, meaning kind of passing the time, going to the shopping mall, whatever it is, etc. And those things weren't interesting to him. He had a different content in his life. He had a content of emunah, tefillah, prayer. And simply, it was very difficult for him to find a common language with her. She seemed to him empty. Aleha kvar lo ma she'ita, and the love he had for her was already not what it was. Right? We should know there's a big cloud that the love, we'll say that in inverted commas, the love in inverted commas that a man feels for his fiance before they're married, it's not real. Sorry, it's not. It's something created by Hashem that's very necessary, because otherwise we would never get together. But it's something created by Hashem that disappears because it wasn't real. And it needs to be replaced with something that's real. It takes working on it, takes years, it takes... And then when you achieve that, that's real. That's stuff that you earned and it lasts. Right? But the stuff that was given to you as a gift by Hashem doesn't last. It's amazing, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, because it's a gift from Hashem. It's perfect, it's from Hashem. It knows exactly what to do. It's bright, it's beautiful, it's amazing. Right? But it's not real. So what comes later? The stuff that I earn. So it's common that all couples have to have struggles and difficulties, because that's the time when they actually create for themselves the reality. When a person is struggling to communicate with his wife, to feel love for her, to want to help her, to want to give to her. But he does it anyway, even though it's not what he wants to do right now. Like right now I'm fed up, I'm bored, I'd rather go and play football or whatever it is. Right? But despite that, I'm now going against my nature and I'm giving and I'm sharing and I'm giving you my attention, my love. And even though it's not there, something I have to create myself. So now I've started to build something myself. When it's given to me free, right? When I'm infatuated with my wife and she's amazing and everything she does is wonderful and beautiful, so it's not difficult for me to give her love and attention. It's natural, right? It's automatic. Therefore, I don't get anything for that. I don't get any points for that. I don't get any points for enjoying chocolate ice cream. However, I do get points for enjoying the dinner that she cooked, which was burned and tasted disgusting. If I enjoy that, then I've earned something. But to enjoy chocolate ice cream, now I don't get any reward for that. Right? So the chocolate ice cream wears off, and it's replaced by the burnt dinner. Yofi. Because now Hashem can test me. Where am I really holding? Am I holding in fantasy land, where I only react to my wife according to what I'm getting out of it? If I'm getting good stuff, if I'm enjoying myself, if you're satisfying me, then I'm going to be nice to you? Or am I actually fulfilling my role as a husband, as doing my job, which is unconditional love? Unconditional. What's unconditional? It means there are no conditions at all. It means even though I'm tired, even though I'm grouchy and I'm upset and I'm not interested in hearing about your day and what you did with your best friend in the supermarket and how you managed to, whatever it was, and it's really not interesting. And plus, it's the fact that you've told me this story already 3 times this week. But you have to get it off your chest, so you're telling me again. Right? It's those situations where I'm really tested. I have to show my love for you, which is unconditional. Completely unconditional. I'm not getting anything out of this. That's what unconditional love is. As opposed to conditional love, which is, if you look pretty, and if you're being nice to me, oh, so it's good. That's conditional. It's completely conditional. It's just love. It's a dimionot. It's idea. It's nonsense. Unfortunately, it's where most of the world is holding. That's why most of the world doesn't have a good marriage. Marriage is an effort. It's the biggest effort. It's the hardest thing to do. It's the most rewarding thing. It's the hardest. That's why they come together. And the more a person works, the harder his job's going to be. Right? When you move up into the bigger leagues, the game gets tougher. It's harder. Right? When you're playing in the NFL, playing in the NBA, it's much harder than playing in the little leagues. The opponents are bigger, they're tougher, they smack you in the face. Much harder. Right? But it's more rewarding. Right? Same too in everything. Same too in marriage. Starts off easy. Hashem gives you everything's wonderful, everybody loves each other, no one can do any wrong, everything's wonderful. You're free. It's very good. And then little by little, there's a little bit of test here, a little bit of tension there, a little bit of somebody left their socks on the bedroom floor, and I'm a bit upset about that because that's not what I do. Oh, I'll let it go. That. And if a person's really working, then 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years, then they're really starting to get to grips with each other. Right? And then there's more stuff to do. There's more and more. An endless. The internal world is far more expansive than the external world. The external world, with the amazing world that's out there, all the countries, all the nations, all the flowers, all the plants, all the animals, all the biological systems, all the chemical systems, all the astrological bodies, everything, nothing compared to what's going on inside. Inside has at least as much going on, if not more. So, don't think that you're going to get bored. Don't think that after 20 years you're going to get bored. Because the truth is, if you're still working on your marriage and working on being together, you're not going to get bored. There's lots more places that you never thought you were ever going to reach to explore. And Hashem is going to explore them for your wife. She's going to turn to you and ask you those questions which just completely throw you. Like, why is it that you never tell me how you really feel? Right now you're into a whole big let's talk about feelings. What's a feeling? Okay, feel. I have some of those somewhere. Feeling, yes. Right? I'm going to have to go to all those. That's not straightforward. Right? But they're not going to ask you. She's not going to ask you that on day one. Right? She's going to ask you that 5 days. Right? When Hashem gives her the green light, Hashem's putting her, Hashem uses our wife as a mouthpiece, a spokesperson. A person needs to know that, because otherwise he's going to get very upset with his wife when she starts asking him difficult questions. Right? You never liked my mother, did you? What's the answer? I don't know. No, I do. Right? Questions that you could never get the right answer to. You just can't, right? What am I going to say now? Right? Now, whichever I answer, I'm in trouble. Mamash, right? Because Hashem's now putting me on the spot. And he wants me to learn. I can only come through my wife. Only come through my wife. And I need to have a lot of patience, a lot of hakarat hatov, a lot of gratitude, and a lot of emunah to see that it's Hashem that's doing this to me. Because when I'm really tested, I can only fall back on her. Because my wife can push my buttons like no one else. Right? Because even if your friend, you had a best friend, a good friend, your chavruta, family member, whoever, even if they really, really get on your nerves, they really push the buttons that really just make you, you just walk up, tell them, like, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll see you next week, thank you very much for your, and you can walk away. Can't walk away from your own home. You can, it's been done. But you can't walk away. You've got to sit there at Shabbos table. Okay, what do I do now? Okay, right? And I just want to explode. I want to walk out. I want to, whatever it is. I can't. Got to deal with it, live with it, work with it, grow with it.
Is there such a thing as, say, a healthy space in the sense that, say, there is friction, you know, and like, you just almost need like some sort of peace of mind and just space where you have like your own room. Uh-huh. I guess guys would call it the doghouse or something like that. Where you have your own room where you just could just, you know, have space almost. Is that healthy or is that unhealthy?
If it's necessary, it's better than exploding with your wife, for sure. Mm. But I don't think it's healthy to have that as a get out. Because a lot of the things that we need to deal with, we need to face head on. And if I have a get out, which is, I just go into, like in the UK, they have something called a garden shed. Do you know what that is? That's what, yeah?
Garden
so
shed,
like guys,
yes.
Like after a certain age, they just go and sit in the garden shed. Right, they have to, right? And they just walk out. They have a get out, so they never deal with anything, never approach anything, they just walk away. So walking away is better than exploding, but it's not dealing. It can be necessary and it can be helpful, but in a limited circumstance. The best thing is I have to face it.
But
I can, for sure, and I always take it to the field, but it shouldn't be, I shouldn't think that I can walk away from a problem, walk away from a fight, walk away from a difficult situation. No, there should be a time when I do it, but I do it when I speak to Hashem, when I review what's going on. That's my personal time. But it's a separate, it's kind of, and now I'm going to go and do Hibbondabat, as opposed to in the middle of this difficult discussion, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to do what I do and walk away. It could be if I've got no other choice, but it's not ideal.
What's probably better is not saying anything, just letting it pass over and taking it to the field when you need to take it to the field.
Uh-huh. So,
and then what happens is that, like, something happened over Shabbos. The cholin got ruined.
Okay.
And we had to toss the whole thing out.
Okay.
And I didn't say anything. I said, everything's worth this. My wife was stunned.
You'll think that's because you're growing and you're learning lots. Baruch Hashem, that's very good. That's very good. Look, Rav Nachman writes that the ikra of teshuva, the main thing of teshuva is Yishtok v'yidom. Person should be silent and quiet. What does that mean? It says two silence. Yishtok v'yidom. Both mean silent, but why both? Why do you need both? So it says yishtok is to not say anything back at a time when you're being rebuked. And yidom is to be quiet inside. Because a person can sometimes hold themselves back from responding. Sometimes. But to be quiet inside internally is very difficult. Right? That shows that you've made teshuva, meaning that you're not affected anymore by by what people say to you. Right? You don't take it personally. We say it after the Amida, we say it in a kind of soul, that Nafshi Tidon, my soul should be quiet, Tidon, to everyone. It should be like
dust.
Like dust. It's the same idea that I should be able to get to a place where I don't have any buttons left to push. No one can push those buttons that just make me go crazy. Right? And Hashem knows that I still have those buttons. And he's going to send my wife to push them. Unfortunately, she has that job. She came down specifically and only, says the Arizal, to help you fix your tikkun. That's the only reason she exists. That's the only reason she has life in the world. Is to help you. She's the other half in your neshama, and she came down to fix your neshama. How's she going to fix you? By being Eza Kenegdo, by being your helpmate that is against you. Right? And she does that by being, not all the time, Baruch Hashem, but when it's time for growth, and Hashem says it's time for you to work on yourself a bit, then he's going to send a messenger. The messenger is our wife.
Rashi says she'll make a war against you.
She'll make a war against you. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
for your own good.
Yeah,
for your own good. And she knows, if she's sensible, if she's switched on, she'll know she's doing it for your own good. And if she's not switched on, Hashem will use her anyway to do the same thing. Right? But a woman who's growing also and is close to Hashem, this is what it does, those words she's at, knows that she's winding you up and I'm pushing you and I'm not letting this go and I'm not dropping this. Because she knows that this is what this is. You know, I'm not letting this go. You need to sort this out.
I have a question. I was married for actually 6 months, but my question is, and it might be a little naive, like, is there ever, like, is marriage almost meant, like, is it, drawing a parallel, is it almost like the army, where is it in the army, the general is almost trying to break you down, he's trying to, like, get to your core and break you down, whereas maybe a wife would be doing the same thing, or is it like an art that you can just master? There's never a mastery over it. There's always another dimension.
The second one.
Always another dimension.
Yeah, there's no such thing as having... If you're a perfect sadic, then maybe yes. But in our generation, we can't expect that we or anyone we know, maybe Rav Arush, but we'll get to the level where they're not going to be tested anymore through their wife. Right? Even the Gedolim are going to continue to be tested, because otherwise, if we're not tested at all, there's no point being here, right? If we completed our tikkun such that we don't get tested, then top time for the neshama to go back upstairs. So that means we're going to get tested. We need to get tested to grow. We don't grow otherwise.
There's no resting on morals.
There's no resting at all.
It's constant friction almost.
And whilst our growth doesn't have to come through our wife, there could be other ways it can grow. We can grow. The truth is that the wife is the best way of receiving that. So it's very unlikely that it's only going to come elsewhere and you're going to have this wonderful, perfect, happy marriage. A person should definitely not expect that. I don't think it's realistic.
The minute you stop thinking that you have to work on it, that's when your marriage goes.
Right.
That's your marriage goes bad. So you constantly, every day, every moment, have to have your marriage in the forefront of your life, because the minute you stop putting it as a priority in the forefront of your life, you're going to have problems with marriage.
Yeah. Once you take your foot off the pedal, right? I see that may be kind to you. You might get half an hour, an afternoon, a couple of days, whatever it is, apparent break. But if I'm really not working on it, then it's going to come back and bite me. That's not to say that I can't do anything about it. Right? The strength of the difficulty of the challenge that I'm going to face is whatever I need. Meaning, if I'm working on myself already, then I don't need such a big difficulty in order to deal with, fix the problem, work on the trait that I'm working on. So for example, if I know that I'm lazy and I'm working on it already, then I don't need my wife to be screaming at me. I just need her to be pointing it out. By the way, you said you were going to fix the shelf in the back room and you haven't done it. You're right, I should do it. She just needs to point it out. Oh, you're right, sorry, I think. And it gives me a bit of a nudge and I go and do it. However, if I'm not working on myself at all, and that shelf in the back room needs working on, and I'm not, then I'm going to get screamed at. You're no good, you haven't even done the shelf in the back room, what do you call yourself? How can you be a husband? You don't even do anything around the house. Do you know how much I work all day? And you can't even do one simple thing. Right, I'm really going to get... Right? So it depends how much... If I identify the problems myself and start to work on them, then I just need a little bit of push in the right direction, a bit of guidance. Right? I don't need a big smack. Sometimes I forget I need a big smack. Sometimes, because I'm really not working on that thing. But if I'm doing Hidbodidut, I'm doing Cheshua Nefesh, I'm looking at what I need to work on. So Hashem doesn't need to be so loud and forceful. And the truth is also that even if there are things that are not on my radar that I hadn't realized that I needed to work on, right? I have jealousy, but jealousy's way down the list. I've got many things, if I get to the jealousy, I've got many other problems to deal with. So it's not my radar. But I do have a problem with jealousy. Right? We've got all of these bad traits. They're in there somewhere. I just haven't found them yet. But trust me, they're in there somewhere. Right? And Hashem decides that he wants me to work on it. So he's going to tell me, he's going to inform me. Right? When Hashem speaks to us, he speaks to us in a pleasant way. First he knocks quietly and he whispers. You know, whispers in our ear, you should look at this. And then he knocks a bit louder and says, by the way. And then And by the, if I'm ignoring each one, then I'm going to get smacked on the back of the head. Or I'm going to fall on my face, whatever it is that I'm going to need. But it's because I didn't listen to the other messages first. Shem doesn't just walk over to us and smack us. Right? It's only because we didn't listen to the previous messages. So if I have my eyes open, and I'm looking and I'm seeing Hashem in the world, I'm seeing the messages that he gives me, and I'm not walking around my eyes closed, so then I'm going to work on the things that he's pointing out to me. I'm going to see things, and I'm going to start to deal with them. And I don't need to have such stress, such hassle. Right? It's only it's a final resort. Hashem does not want to make us suffer. Right? Chazal say that in Tehillim, that all the suffering we have is his suffering. He suffers more. Just like a father who sees his child suffering. The father is very unhappy, doesn't want his child to suffer. More so Hashem, doesn't want us to suffer. So he doesn't make us suffer unless we need to for our own good. Only for our own good. And only as a last resort. Doesn't want to make us suffer like that. Tov, what's happening with the rest of the story?
So what happened at the end?
Don't know, I'm reading it now. Okay, let's do a bit more, try and get to the end. I don't know how long it goes on here. Tov. Anyway, so what happened? So the man came and he was all fallen, right? Because he realized that the marriage wasn't going very well afterwards. Right? Kinere Haram Sadak. Like it appears that the Rav was right. He said to me in tears, what should I do? Should I separate from her? I gave him a big smile. I said to him, lo velo, Habibi. No and no, Habibi, my friend. Lifnei she'itchatanta, before you got married, yatsati lacha lo litchaten, I advise you not to get married. Aval akshav she'itchatanta, but now that you are married, Zehu there, that's it. Ein derech chazara, there's no way back. Zeh ha-tikun shelcha, this is your tikun. Tayodeh alit boded, you know how to pray. Tatchil la'avod, go work. Right, go pray on it. I told you not to get into this, but now you're into it. That's it. This is your tikun, says Hashem. Right, this is what you chose. Now I need to deal with it. Right, so it's for you to make the best of it. And for sure, through learning Rav Shalom's book, very clear, he says, if you practice the rules of Shalom Bayit, then you can make Shalom Bayit with the devil. Right? It is, to an extent, a technical process. You do your half, and then everything goes well. The woman is a mirror. The woman is the other half of your soul. She's getting all of her light through you. Therefore, if you're giving her what you need to give her, she's shining. She's reflecting back at you all the good stuff. Right? It's entirely in our hands. Marriage is entirely in the hands of the man. It's not in the hands of the woman. It's in the hands of the man to create his own marriage. Right? Which seems on the one half, that seems like unfair. Doesn't it take two? But on the other side of it, no. It's a lot of responsibility, but it means that everything's in my hands. If I want it to go well, it's in my hands to make it that way. It doesn't matter what she's like, what she's interested in, what she's not interested in. She reflects us. We see it many, many times, especially in the Baal Teshuva world, where the husband wants to make Teshuva and the wife is not interested. Right? The wife never heard that CD. She never read that book. She's like, oh, I don't want to get interested. However, what's it take? All it takes is the husband to continue to be strong. And suddenly the wife now wants to keep Torah mitzvahs and cover her hair and start making Shabbos. And where did that come from? She never read any book. She never learned any CD. Nothing, right? She's never been to yeshiva. And now suddenly she's interested in keeping mitzvah. Yes. Why? Because her light is only coming through the husband. And as long as he's doing his job, he's shining the light on her. Meaning he's still giving her love and attention and he's not turning away from her. And looking elsewhere, Kilo, then she is going to change. She's going to change automatically. It doesn't matter whether it's in her character traits, anger, sadness, whatever it is, or in her Torah mitzvot. It's all going to come through him. It's all going to happen because it's a spiritual process. It's entirely a spiritual process. It's all in the hands of the man. So even in this situation where he married someone who was not fitting in terms of, Rav advised him, don't put yourself in that situation. Are you asking for a difficulty? Why would I ask for a difficulty? And that once you're in that situation, yeah, but she's not interested in Torah mitzvot, and I am. It doesn't matter. As long as you keep going and doing what you're doing and fulfill all the laws of Shalom Bayit, treat your wife in the way you're meant to treat her, I have no doubt the Rav is saying here that she's going to change and she's going to be wonderful. She's going to be stronger than you. She's going to be encouraging you. Right? And no doubt, no doubt at all. So that is our challenge, and that's also our fortune, that we have that in our hands.
And it could also be amazing.
What?
And it could also be amazing.
Mm-hmm.